Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
You got two babies in there. They're going to grow up to be two nations. And the oldest one is going to serve the youngest one. And there's going to be strife between them their entire days. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. No one's ever understood completely the two. It's the seed of the serpent has to be in there, and it had to come from Rebekah's side of the family, Laban's wife's side of the family, because you have two distinct, different people there.
Oh yeah.
Even as goes as far as one of them was a whole another color.
Yeah, a whole different color, and then came out hairy.
Whole another demeanor.
Right.
Yes.
Like almost like Wolfman is what I'm saying.
Yes. So we got it. We got it in all of us. The boys grew up, and Esau became a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Ah, such a fickle man.
Boy, my son's a good hunter.
He is. This stuff's delicious.
The elder boy in there playing the video games?
Yeah. It's just... But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He'd been out in the field hunting all day, tired, starving. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." That birthright was the only thing that a young man had. If you were the first one out of the womb, you got everything. You were in charge, you got everything. Your siblings all had to bow down to you. And it shows the mental acuity of Jacob and the lack of mental acuity of Esau.
Right.
He could care less.
Oh yeah.
He's got a bow and arrow. He likes to shoot deer.
His dad's happy with him.
Yeah. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What could be more important? I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob for a bowl of soup. He gave away his soul, basically. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Chapter 26, Book of Genesis. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down unto Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and my laws."
Because that Abraham.
Abraham, yes, right, absolutely.
They're making a point.
Exactly, and it's all going to have to stay because of Abraham, because after every generation, they just get less and less astute about following God's laws. But because of Abraham, they'll be blessed to a point where God can't do it anymore.
Right.
And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She's my sister."
Yeah.
What is it with these guys? I mean, he inherited that from his...
from his granddad, right? Grandpa taught me this.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how you...
I've heard this story. Yeah, I'm going to use it.
Because
my wife is beautiful, too.
Yeah, I could go up into a town and use my woman as a credit card.
And they, yeah, they said every time Grandpa did this, he got lots of stuff. She is my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife, lest the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw her, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. Okay, now, when Abimelech first met Abraham, Abraham was 100, Abimelech was probably early 20s or something, so he's still there, still around. Old man now.
Right.
And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety she is thy wife." He's probably looking for this anyway, because
yeah, you better watch that family.
He almost got plundered because of the same thing back in his day.
Yeah.
"Behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how sayest thou, she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "What is this thou hast done unto us again with your family?"
Who are these people?
"One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us." Abimelech is a righteous man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." You know, and it wasn't... You know, it was God that he feared, but he knew of the royalty of God in Abraham and his family. You know, I don't think he would have worried if it was Billy Bob's wife that lives over on the other hill.
Right.
But no, you don't mess with this family right here.
Hebrews.
That's right.
The named Hebrews.
"You shall be put to death if you touch her." And Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Okay, we see the beginnings of the blood feud between whom?
Ishmael
and Isaac. So, whatever Isaac does, we undo.
Yeah, I thought about something that might be... still got shored up a little bit. But whenever you got to the end of it, it's my sister. No, it's not your sister. We know better.
Yeah. Yeah. All
right.
Yeah.
It wasn't we gave you a bunch of gifts this time. Yeah. It was Isaac actually sowed into that land.
And God gave him a hundredfold back.
And then it came back versus just a whole bunch.
Yeah. We got nothing else to give. We gave it all to Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to hang a sign around her neck. Do not touch.
Yeah. We're tapped. Yeah.
And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. So when Abraham died, they didn't fear the family anymore.
Right.
And they began to wage, this social warfare at this point, stop up the wells. And he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esk, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzeth, one of his friends, and Phichol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainty that the Lord was with thee. And we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us. Remember, Abimelech had made an oath with Abraham. Remember me for the kindness I did to you. Please don't ever have anything bad happen between us.
For at least three generations.
There you go. Even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. They rose up betimes in the morning, and swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It wasn't so much that they hated him, they feared him. He was living in their land, and his people were becoming so vast and great. And plus, Abimelech knew of the power of the Hebrew and the power of their God. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water, and he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Bashemath the daughter of Elon the Hittite. He's taken some Hittite women, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah.
Oh, yeah, because he took them out of the land that was forbidden to
exactly. Bloodline, but... He's a very rebellious young man, cared nothing for his stature in the family, cared nothing for his birthright, didn't care that his mother and father forbid them to marry of those women. Chapter 27, Book of Genesis, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan, here at WVFF 97.7 Radio. Glad you could join us. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son. And he said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. Make me a savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Rebekah overhears this conversation. You remember, he's 30 years older than her. So he's dying, she's not. She's still a middle-aged woman. And her favorite is not the one that he wants to bless. Isaac wants to bless Esau. Her favorite is Jacob. So, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Do exactly as I tell you. This is very important. What she's pointing her finger at him. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man.
Wait a minute, mom.
Yeah, he's going to know. He's going to know it's not me. It's not Esau. He's going to know.
Right.
My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And this is a theme within this book all through the patriarchs. The blessing of the father before his death is a powerful thing. It can speak for generations of how and what will happen to that family line. And these people knew it. I mean, the father could speak poverty into your family line, or he could speak wealth into your family line. He could speak fighting or peace or whatever was in his soul to give you just by the words that he spoke out of his mouth. Very important thing, and I still believe it exists today if the Father who speaks it believes through the Lord Jesus Christ that he can bless. It is still a possibility.
I believe it. It's just that there's so much struggle for people to actually find faith and stuff like that, that
no.
It's hard for them to speak words.
And we don't believe words have power anymore.
Right.
The Bible says words have power.
Oh, yeah, and you can feel it.
Tongue is the most powerful weapon there is.
You can read a certain word out of here,
yes.
Like you were saying a minute ago, like you can, that one word will jump off that page to
yep.
you and give you like an hour's worth of meditation.
Yep, whole another meaning.
Yeah.
And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse. She is willing to take it on herself because she knows the importance of this. My son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Now, people say this is deception. Is it deception? It is deception. But what did God say when they came out of the womb? The older will bow down before the younger.
Yeah.
Prophecy.
Yes.
It has to happen this way.
She's fulfilling what was written.
Yeah. Exactly. And we see it with Hagar. You know, Satan's trying to intervene. He put Hagar there. Let's have a baby. They get out ahead. They get out ahead of God's plan. Well, here, you got these two in the womb. Who comes out first?
That's right.
The one who's trying to get ahead
yeah.
of
yeah.
the one who's supposed to be the inheritance.
Right. Even came
so,
out,
deception in the time of war is the greatest truth. And this is deception, but it's authorized deception.
Right.
And his mother said unto him, Upon me be the curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meats such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son, because Esau had a smell about him.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can't go in there smelling good. Like, you shower.
Yeah.
Esau doesn't.
Yeah,
here, put these on. Go roll around in that camel dung over there a little bit.
That's it.
And
make us believable.
Yes, that's it. She puts the clothes, Esau's clothes, on Jacob. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. The hairy parts. Not the real thick part, probably around the belly where it's just this partial hair. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared under the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? Remember, he can't see.
Yeah.
Probably can't hear very well either. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Yeah, he starts to talk. I am Esau. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he says, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And there we go with the authorized deception. because Rebecca didn't just put this inside her heart herself. God prophesied it when the two kids came out. This is the way it had to happen, and Rebecca is following orders, though she thinks she's just trying to give her son a blessing.
Right.
And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my son Esau or not. Things just don't feel right here.
Wait a minute.
I mean, your voice ain't right. Yeah. You smell quite a bit like Esau, but something's not right here. And I could swear that this is goat. It's not venison.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I love venison, but right. Tastes a lot like goat.
Yeah, your mom's goat surprise, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Just had this last Friday. Now Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice. No, father, it's mine. I'm Esau. But the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my son, very son Esau? And he said, I am. He lies. But, yes.
I'm sorry, I just had something pop in my head about this. Sorry. So this whole thing with Esau and Jacob and everything like that. So Jacob, his name means heel catcher.
Yeah.
Right? But what just came to me was, all right, the way that this worked out, and it's never worked out in my head this way before. I'd always wonder. I was like, okay, so the deception happens, stuff like that, but God still blessed the blessing itself, and
yeah,
it still fulfilled it.
It was an authorized deception.
Well, how does that work out, legalistically? Well, legalistically, Esau gave him the birthright, so
he
therefore
did.
The blessing could come down.
Absolutely.
In proper order and stuff like that. That's
absolutely, but. His father loved Esau so much, it wasn't going to happen at his own hand. God works in amazing ways, and he often authorizes deception and lies. And in this case, yes, I mean, Jacob says, his father says, Isaac says, are you my son Esau? He says, I am, father.
Right.
That is an outright lie that will bring a blessing to Jacob. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
And he said, art thou my son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father's Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. Still a little leery. Is this really him?
But you do kind of smell like a gym bag.
Yeah, well, a camel. And blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. A powerful, powerful blessing.
I know you're going to touch on it, but the type of shadow right there of whenever we talk to Israel.
Oh, absolutely.
Those who bless
Israel. Yeah, absolutely. This is it right here.
Yeah.
Therefore, God give of thee the dew of heaven. That is everything good from heaven.
Yeah.
The fatness of the earth. The plenty of corn and wine. Always be fed. Always have everything that you need. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren.
That just put the younger over the elder.
Yep, exactly what was said when he came out the womb. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now, say, Pastor Dave, how can a lie be blessed? This is warfare. This is spiritual warfare. Jacob and Esau, both of them in the womb. It's just the same with Ishmael. Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael got there first, not because of God's decision, because Satan intervened, trying to push his counterfeit ahead of what God's doing. So therefore, we got two of these children in the womb, and the first one gets out first. Not the way it was supposed to be. God fixes it. Deception in warfare is the greatest truth. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of it before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed, because there is no way to take it back. And you see, Isaac trembled. He loved Esau much more than Jacob. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And you hear him screaming as Jacob is making it for the woods.
Yeah.
And said unto his father, Blessed me, even me also, father, please, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He got me to sell him my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Do you have anything else inside your soul that you can give to me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? There's nothing left.
Yes, I emptied the tank with it.
And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. He knew the power of the patriarchal blessing. He says, please, just come up with something.
Right.
You know, bless me with beautiful hair or something. Give me something.
Free corn for life.
And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. That's all I got left, son. Where you live will be a nice place and sustain you. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke off thy neck. You will have a sword in your hand your entire life, and you will become great at one point and break away from your brother's yoke. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So what do we have? The seed of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
The original manslayers, you know?
Yeah. Yes,
sir. Cain. Yes, sir. Cain's son, Tubal Cain.
Right
out of the starting block. Killing people, and this is in his heart.
Yeah.
Seed of the serpent is in his line. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Your brother's going to kill you. There's 40 days of mourning for his father. Day 41, he's going to kill you.
Right.
Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, in Haran. and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, till thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? All right, so we got two brothers, one hating the other and one running away to preserve his life. We're in the book of Genesis. We just finished chapter 27. You're with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, an amazing book, a living book. The more you read it, the more you get from it, the more it presents itself to you. Understanding, you have to look at every word. Read it slowly, methodically, over and over and over again, and it will present something to you new every time you read it. It's been a pleasure. Hope you join us for another installment here on WVFF 97.7 FM. Good day.
That's all for this week's episode of Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through the scriptures with David and Jonathan. Join us next time for more enlightening discussions and exploration of the Bible's deeper meanings here on WVFF 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.